The following program is underwritten by the New Jersey Council for the Humanities. Welcome to Humanities Connection, a production of WFDU-FM and the New Jersey Council for the Humanities. I'm Bob Mann. We have two very interesting segments on this episode of the program. The first is about a series of workshops called Dialogues on the Experience of War. It brings together scholars and veterans, active military members, and their families. It's a very interesting subject, and you'll be hearing that in a matter of seconds. Later in the program, we'll be talking about an exciting event at Fairleigh Dickinson University called WhamFest, the combination of words, art, and music. It's all coming up now on Humanities Connection. Former Secretary of State Dean Rusk once called warfare the greatest obscenity on the face of mankind. Yet we know that very often wars do need to be fought. World War II is a vivid example, and so many people, men and women from the United States, have done their duty at risk of life and limb. We all have opinions on war, but really, the only people who have a true right to talk about it are those who have been in combat themselves and have seen both the accomplishment and the horrors of warfare. That's what we're talking about on this segment of Humanities Connection. I'm talking about something which the New Jersey Council for the Humanities has been able to fund called Dialogues on the Experience of War. It's a series of discussion-based workshops that's brought together scholars and veterans, active military, and their families. And here to talk about it, Elizabeth Joyce, Associate Dean of the Haven School of Arts and Sciences at Thomas Edison State University, and Craig Smith, who is Director of Veterans Affairs, also at the same institution. Thank you both for being on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you very much.
It really is a fascinating concept, and I'm wondering, Elizabeth, if you could talk a little bit about why Thomas Edison took this on what is the benefit to you, to the community, and to the people involved in having this series of workshops.
Well, we took on this program for several reasons. Thomas Edison State University serves a large military student population, and one of the goals of the program is to help veterans and active military members to understand their experience and to help them in their reintegration into civilian society. Also, the Haven School of Arts and Sciences within the university houses our humanities courses, so we are always looking for opportunities to promote the humanities disciplines. And finally, we really hoped that we could advance the historical record, the state of scholarship in this area, by producing some recorded oral history in the form of interviews with our participants who are veterans of war.
Craig, let's talk a little bit about the format of this. How does this all come together? I realize that as we broadcast this initially, that the series has concluded, but the audience really should learn about what came of it. What has been the format? How does the discussion progress?
Thanks, Bob. It's really an open format, a guided discussion led by David Longenbach, who's a military historian, and myself. I'm a 22-year Air Force veteran. And it's really meant to create some discussion around different themes and different experiences that the veterans and family members have faced. And our goal is to create a crosstalk discussion about the various topics, allowing the attendees to share their vast experiences.
And when you talk about sharing these experiences, is this therapeutic, educational, informative? What's the goal here? Because of the fact that Elizabeth mentioned the connection to the humanities. And in addition to that, though, you're talking about the sharing of what could be traumatic experiences or, as I mentioned at the beginning of the segment, experiences that can only be shared by those who experienced warfare. Is it meant to be primarily therapeutic or educational?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's therapeutic because a lot of times veterans don't talk openly about their experiences with loved ones, but when they get around other veterans, they open up and they feel more willing to share. It's like a brotherhood, if you will. I do also believe it's educational because we can learn about the various the backgrounds and the history about warfare, and then we can all learn from each other by sharing our experiences.
Let's talk a little bit, Elizabeth, though, about what these videos actually are. The videos are shown as part of the workshops, but yet I understand that with any kind of oral history, because we've been doing the show for 7 years, and we've done a lot of interviews about oral histories, which have been funded by the New Jersey Council for the Humanities. What are some of the possible benefits moving forward in terms of having these archives?
Well, actually, there are two kinds of videos. First of all, during the workshops, our presenters have actually shown video clips as well as film clips to encourage discussion. As you know, the humanities in these programs are being used both as a tool to help, you know, encourage discussion, but also, as you had mentioned earlier, for educational purposes. However, we are also, as part of these workshops, asking for volunteers from our participants. Would you be willing to be interviewed? And Craig can tell you a little bit more about the kinds of questions they ask, but it is producing those as a deliverable, as it were, at the end of the workshops that we feel would be really an important part of history. And yes, some of these videos we're hoping will be sent to and used by the various military archives or even the national archives.
And also, before we move on to talking about some of the individual stories, which I'm certain are fascinating, what, Elizabeth, was the role played by the New Jersey Council for the Humanities in all this?
Well, a vital one. The New Jersey Council for the Humanities provided the grant funding that helped to make this program possible. The grant process required us to set forth the goals of the program and the methods we intended to use in our presentations. But the content, of course, was originated by the scholars involved in the project. And the humanities, the New Jersey Council for the Humanities helped us in what was really a collaborative type of process where we could use the academic disciplines that explore human culture, the humanities, to help people process the experience of war and also to document that experience.
Let's talk a little bit about some of these stories. First of all, Craig, I need to clarify something for myself here. Is this program geared to vets of all U.S. wars? Can it go all the way back to World War II? Or does it focus primarily on the current and recent military actions that our nation has been involved in the Middle East?
It's geared for all wars. So we actually have had participants from World War II in our workshops, as well as Vietnam. And we're looking to also have some, you know, younger veterans attend our workshops as well and participate, you know, more recent wars in Afghanistan and Iraq.
And when you share these stories, I guess very often, Craig, there are commonalities. You could be somebody who's 90 years old and was, you know, on Iwo Jima in the 1940s, or somebody who was in Afghanistan in the 21st century. And in many ways, the experiences, despite all those decades in between and the generational differences, are the same.
Oh, absolutely. There's some definitely common themes. We actually had a nurse from World War II in one of our seminars, and we actually had a soldier from Vietnam who was a leader. He actually rose to one of the highest ranks in the Army. So there are general themes, you know, leadership, followership, obviously camaraderie and teamwork and team building, and you know, working through the different challenges that they faced. And like you said, many of the challenges are much the same over the years. And I think much of the challenges that we find, too, are much of the same as far as reintegration following time that you serve on active duty military. And so reintegrating, if you will, back into civilian society.
You're listening to Humanities Connection. I'm Bob Mann. This program is underwritten by the New Jersey Council for the Humanities. It is heard on a monthly basis on WFDU 89.1 FM on the radio in the New York, Northern New Jersey tri-state area, but also then is on the website as an archive at www.njch.org. And we urge everyone in the audience to go to njch.org to find out about this and all of the amazing things done by the New Jersey Council for the Humanities. In this segment of our program, we're talking about Dialogues on the Experience of War, a series of discussion-based workshops, and it had been based out of Thomas Edison State University. And my guest, Elizabeth Joyce, Associate Dean of the Haven School of Arts and Sciences, and Craig Smith, both of whom are connected with the university, and Craig is the Director of Veterans Affairs. Elizabeth, when I read the website for NEH, they were talking about this program overall, the idea of the Dialogues program, and they said that a lot of subtopics come up, and it almost becomes philosophical. Patriotism, pacifism, trauma, morality, all of these things. I guess these conversations can go in many different areas that deal with the human experience even beyond the battlefield.
Well, I think that's right, and especially when you start to have interaction between the experience of the military veteran, him or herself, but that also extends out into society, to their families, to their hometowns. One of the things I found so interesting in our June series was we did survey the audience after the presentation, and we asked them if they had a favorite film clip. And the most frequently mentioned one was really from a post-World War II film called The Best Years of Our Lives with Dana Andrews. And I thought it was interesting because most of the veterans that we were involved were participating in the June series of workshops were not from World War II. There were a couple. I think there were two. Craig can correct me on that. But no matter what the war was, that is a film about the reintegration of a military vet into, three military vets actually, into civilian life. And it's all about how war has irreparably changed not just the military members, but their families and the towns that they live in. And I think that speaks to the universality of the topic.
It is amazing what film can bring us. And as someone who works as a communication and media professor, of course, you know, you look at, I look at movies such as Saving Private Ryan, but someone pointed out that no matter how realistic Spielberg made the Normandy Beach scene feel, that the only way you could really understand it is if the room filled with smoke and people were shooting live ammunition at you, because that's how it is ratcheted up to a level not just of sight and sound, but of fear, bravery, and real life and death by the seconds. Craig, what is it that those of us who did not serve in the military, or especially have not served in combat, just don't understand about the military experience?
I think that a lot of times you don't understand that the soldiers and the sailors and all of the folks that are out there doing their, actually serving and you know, meeting their mission requirements, they look at it as that's what they were called to do. They were doing their job. They were completing the task at hand. They were following the orders of the officers above them. They don't look at it quite the same way, I think, that civilians look at it. You know, civilians kind of look at it from a heroic point of view, but I think that those who serve look at it much differently, really downplay it more so, and I was just simply doing my job. I was where I needed to be, and I tried to do the best I could in a very, very difficult and sometimes very chaotic situation.
I mentioned your title a number of times as the Director of Veterans Affairs at the university. What exactly does that mean? What does that entail?
So I oversee, we have about 1,500 veteran students. We have about 5,000 military family members, you know, military-affiliated students currently enrolled at the university. But I really make sure that our veteran students are taken care of, that they're able to focus on their schoolwork, that they're able to figure out how to use their veteran benefits, there's a lot of questions when you have veterans who are, you know, coming to the university to pursue their education. A lot of times they may not fully understand what benefits they're entitled to. They may not fully understand how to get started using their benefits. So there are a lot of questions that they have. And so myself and my team, we try to make sure that we provide a certain level of counseling and advice to our veteran students to ensure that they can really maximize their experience.
Elizabeth, we have less than a minute left in the segment. The workshops have come and gone, but so much has been gained. What are some of the ways in which members of our audience could benefit from what this program has been and what it produced moving forward?
Well, I think by listening to the program, they're going to get an idea of not only what our veterans go through, but also how the humanities can help us all to understand human nature and human culture. I also think that to the extent I could encourage your listeners to, if they do get an opportunity, to listen to any of the many, many archived materials that have been collected by each of the branches of the services, military services, and also in National Archives and other sources, that they listen to it. Most of us don't experience what veterans have experienced, but it really behooves us to understand and appreciate what they've done for us.
Elizabeth Joyce and Craig Smith talking about Dialogues on the Experience of War. You're listening to Humanities Connection on WFDU 89.1 FM. I'm Bob Mann. This program is underwritten by the New Jersey Council for the Humanities. If you want more information about the work of the Council, please go to www.njch.org. There you can hear archives of this program and also find out detailed information about all of the wonderful things that are being done by the New Jersey Council for the Humanities. This program has been on the air for more than 7 years, and even though it comes from WFDU, rarely, if ever, has the New Jersey Council for the Humanities featured a topic concerning FDU, but that is different right here. Words, arts, music, they're all coming together in one specific event. It's called WAMFest, W-A-M, Words, Arts, and Music, at Fairleigh Dickinson University. And those of you listening to our initial broadcast in September 2017 actually have this coming up very soon and can have an opportunity to be part of it. And the New Jersey Council for the Humanities is one of the strong supporters, has been one of the strong supporters of WAMFest. And here to talk about it is Jane Savitt-Tenen, Director of Development for FDU School of the Arts. Jane, thank you for being here, kind of an in-house thing, WFDU and FDU. Tell us a little bit about what WAMFest means. I gave the audience a little bit of a tease, but tell us the details.
WAMFest is, and first of all, thanks, Bob, and I'm happy to be here, and thank you for asking about WAMFest. We're delighted to be promoting it with WFDU because it is an FDU event. WAMFest is an annual series of readings, interviews, talks, performances, exhibitions hosted by FDU, primarily on our Florham campus in Madison, New Jersey. It brings together successful artists from a variety of genres to inspire and inform the community. We've had a wide range of past keynote artists, ranging from Ice-T last year, who was interviewed, to Bruce Springsteen, who traded rock and poetry licks with Robert Pinsky, the former poet laureate of the United States.
Now, it's interesting that you mentioned Ice-T, because what happened last year, and of course we're going to talk about 2017,
right,
but at the 2016 WAMFest, Ice-T, we know him as a rapper, we know him as an actor. I mean, ironically, he had the song Cop Killer and yet played a police officer and has played a police officer for years.
Right.
But yet he came out of himself and his own regular sweet spot groove and did something very, very different.
He did. He was interviewed. He didn't perform. And he talked about a wide range of subjects, ranging from his own biography and how he got into both rap and heavy metal, because he has a heavy metal band as well, all the way through to Law & Order SVU, to his reality show with his wife, who turned out to be a lovely woman, and their adorable little daughter who was here, although not on stage. And he also talked about politics, and this was during the pre-election run-up, and had very interesting and perceptive perspectives on the situation that our country was in, and was not shy about expressing his opinions about the then candidate Donald Trump.
This program is underwritten by the New Jersey Council for the Humanities. We've been talking about the FDU connection of the radio station and the event, but talk about the underwriter of our program and the involvement that has occurred in previous years involving the New Jersey Council for the Humanities and WAMFest.
We love the New Jersey Council on the Humanities, and we're very grateful that last year they gave us a planning grant to diversify our audience. And their support helped us do just that. We were able to diversify the ethnic, racial, social backgrounds of the artists who were involved in WAMFest, both as performers and interviewees, more than we had been able to in the past. And as a result, our audience was highly diverse, and Ice-T was such a powerful interviewee that we ended up with over 500 people at that interview, which is the largest single WAMFest audience we've ever had.
So the grant and the goal was to diversify the audience, but the way that you did that was to diversify the artist. It makes sense to certainly appeal to different demographics. That would be the right way to go at it right off the bat.
Yes, and we were thrilled with the outcome, as were our other major funders who are longtime supporters of WAMFest and are actually have made a commitment to support it this year and for the next 4 years, Robert and Patricia Purez.
Let's talk a little bit more, though, about the humanities. What is the connection of WAMFest and the humanities? You talked about the NJCH involvement, but what exactly, when you talk about the humanities and what that academic pursuit is as kind of an umbrella term, what is the relationship of WAMFest and the humanities?
Before we go there, let me also, because I omitted it, thank deeply Morris Arts, which has been a stalwart, along with the Purez's, supporter of WAMFest over the years and continues to offer generous support.
Okay. Let's, though, talk about the humanities connection. Wow,
sure.
That's the first time I used the title of the show in a question.
There you go. WAMFest is really a humanities-driven event in the sense that we don't have... The focus is not on artists coming to campus and just doing their thing, although there is some of that as part of the event. But the main events within WAMFest are artists going in other directions, either being interviewed, as we did with Ice-T, and as we will again with this year's keynote interviewee, the actor Sean Astin, who is currently featured in Stranger Things on TV.
I love Stranger Things.
Everybody loves Stranger Things.
I can't wait for season 2 to drop. It's really very exciting. Now Sean Astin, of course, we know him from The Lord of the Rings, and you just mentioned Stranger Things. But in connection with the Ice-T story you just told a couple of minutes ago, obviously Sean Astin isn't going to be talking so much about show business, but about something else.
He'll be talking about a range of subjects. He will be talking about his career, I'm sure, because he's been in so many movies that our community members know, ranging from The Goonies to The Ring movies to now Stranger Things. So I'm sure that he'll be talking and answering questions about that. But the theme of this year's WAMFest is the art of the mind, or you could interpret it as art and the mind. And Sean Astin is the son of the late Patty Duke, who was an esteemed actress from the time she was a kid, and also lived with bipolar disorder. So he is really at a unique spot to be able to look at and talk about artists and about mental illness.
Right, because of the fact that he can tell anecdotal stories that he alone, you know, as contrasted to, when I say anecdotal, as contrasted to stories of studies and statistics, of course, anecdotes are stories, but he can tell his own stories, and he can tell what it is like to live with a person who's fighting these battles and fighting these demons, and that firsthand exposure is something that's great for an audience.
I think so, and I think he can also talk about her artistic drive, which you know, existed all the way through her life. She didn't really stop acting. I want to make clear that we're not talking about an all artists are crazy model, or you're a better artist if you have a mental illness.
Oh, no, I would never interpret it that way. I would never interpret it that way, certainly, and I understand that this would be done with sensitivity and perspective, and that's the whole idea behind it.
Right, and he's become an advocate for mental illness as an adult. He's in his mid-40s, so he's not a little boy anymore or a young actor, and he's quite active in advocacy matters.
For many people, they're listening to our initial broadcast in September, but we rerun this program during December and summer vacations. Are you looking forward to a 2018 WAMFest?
Yes, we are. WAMFest is an annual event at FDU. Each year, it takes a different form or format. Last year, we had a multi-day event. This year, we are cramming everything into one day. There will be other artists, a diverse range of artists, who are contributing to the day. That list is not final yet. That always finalizes itself in the few weeks before the actual WAMFest date. So in the next couple of weeks, we'll be finalizing and making information available about everything that will be going on that day. And it should be really, really fun and enlightening.
But for those who are listening to the initial broadcast, this is coming up soon. They can get tickets, and so tell them times, dates, ways to get to see WAMFest if they're listening in time for the one in 2017.
I will do that. The website, which is in the process of being updated, so you can look at last year's WAMFest on the website today, is www.fdu, as in Fairleigh Dickinson University, .edu/WAMFest. So it's fdu.edu/WAM, as in mother, FEST. And the person to contact for tickets and information is Kim Dennison, and really the easiest way to reach her is through email. So her email is Dennison, D-E-N-N-I-S-O-N, at fdu.edu.
Just give us a brief summary of what WAMFest is, when it's going to be, and why it would be something valuable for people to experience.
The date for this year's WAMFest is October 6th. The events will go on during the afternoon and the evening on the Fairleigh Dickinson campus in Madison, New Jersey. The address is 285 Madison Avenue in Madison, New Jersey. Madison is right near Morristown, if you're not familiar with it, and Florham Park. And the reason to come is that it's a great experience. You hear great music, you see interesting art, you learn about the artists, and it's a refreshing view, and often an unexplored view of the arts that most people never really otherwise encounter.
I really hope that you have tremendous success with this and it moves on into the future. And I thank you very much for being here on the program, Jane.
Thank you so much, Bob. We're so grateful that you're reaching out to us and talking about WAMFest. It's one of the jewels in the crown of Fairleigh Dickinson, and we're very excited about it.
That's Jane Tennan, Development Director for the FDU School of the Arts, talking about WAMFest. That's it for this episode of Humanities Connection. I'm Bob Mann. Thank you very much for listening. You can hear this program on the radio on a monthly basis on WFDU 89.1 FM, and you can hear archives of the show at www.njch.org. This radio program and that website, both great sources of information about the great things being done by the New Jersey Council for the Humanities.